Welcome to
Got Your Milk,
a podcast about FX's television program, The Strain, the zombie apocalypse in New York City.
Strigoi!
My name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FITTENTRIM, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. And because Mork is at a family event, and this was a very family-focused episode.
Mork has family?
He does.
Wow.
And unlike Gus, he treats them good. But he never gives them dinner. And so, sitting in for Mork this week.
It was all about family this week. There was a lot of family feasts, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Sitting in for Mork this week is Catfish. Catfish, tell everybody how they can find you on Twitter.
You can hit me up at CJGman67.
Yes, heck yeah. So, tonight we're going to be breaking down Season 3, Episode 3 of FX's The Strain, entitled Firstborn Cetrachian Fett Race to Recover the Octodo Lumen. Meanwhile, Gus and Angel try to hide a secret house guest while avoiding a police sweep. And Quinlan's thirst for revenge is revealed. Catfish, we just saw Firstborn, Episode 3 of Season 3. What's your ranking out of 10?
Well, listen, I'm going to say this. Okay. I felt like they didn't wrap up all the storylines, but considering that this was the last episode of the entire series, The Strain, I'm going to give it a 9.5 for ending.
Right, they killed the master. It's over. It's pretty
beautiful.
Shocking.
I really felt like they didn't wrap up Gus, but since they made Gus so darn unlikable this episode, I guess the story is Gus is just a DB.
DB?
Yeah, I can't say it. Well, I could if I warned you that listener discretion advised.
Well, Catfish, that's pretty high.
9.5 series finale. I love it. Thank you so much. It's been an honor to be here. I really wish Mork had
been here for the
last episode ever of The Strain. I felt like there would have been a lot of celebration in the room.
That's true. Well, Catfish, you went pretty high.
Well, I mean, again, I wish they'd have tied up a few loose ends, but I'm happy with the way that it ended. Mm-hmm. I feel like I used too many words in that sentence. I'm happy that it ended.
Okay. Keep it short and sweet. This is a podcast people listen to when they're at the gym, they're at their commute, and they don't have time to listen to those long sentences.
Let's not get into too many details because I think most of our listeners don't even watch the show.
Hey,
and
now,
for that, I'm jealous.
Now, Catfish, for everybody who's new to the Got Your Milk podcast, we take sometimes a snarky take on FX's The Strain, the zombie apocalypse.
It's only because we think about the logic of the show more than the writers do.
No, that's true. That's true. We're helping them out, revealing the logical flaws in their show months after they finished the season and decided to air it for everybody.
Well, it's just super brave. There's a lot of shows on these days that have, you know, the latest things people talk about is anti-heroes.
That's true.
Tony Soprano, Walter White. And they make them ostensibly bad people that you can identify with. What I like here is that they just make people purely unlikable. Most of the leads, the people have been killed. And the people who are left do such stupid and horrible things to other people.
All right,
hold on.
I haven't even given my ranking out of 10, but right now, do it. Let's go through the characters and you tell me if you like them or hate them.
Okay.
All right, so let's start off with this character. Mm-hmm. Hey, bruh, it's me, Gus. I got to save my mom, bruh.
Hate him.
What? Okay, how about this character?
He fed innocent people to his mother.
Sure.
Right. Just let's let go of the... First of all...
Yeah.
First of all, one of the two of them, I believe it's Angel, who's racist.
What do you mean by that?
Mexican seatbelt?
Hey.
Come on. For God's sakes, people. Come on.
What are you doing? All right, so you hate Silver Angel too?
You know... He had a good idea up until the point where he changed from let's kill your mother to let's hide your mother and then feed innocent people to your mother.
All right, so you hate Gus and Angel. Wait a minute. Uh-huh. Here, we got some more. What about, you hate me? I've been hunting the master for centuries. I mean, sorry, decades. I only lived in World War II. And I got to take my medication because and every time, like, remember in season one, the master was outside and I could have stabbed him, but I monologued. And then what about tonight when I saw this one worm crawling away? I could have stomped it with my foot. And instead, I let it get into the gutter. You don't hate me, Satrakian, do you?
You know, I just... You're right. I don't hate Satrakian.
All right. There you go. Now, okay. Well, what about... Hey, Professor. It's me, Vasily Fett. If we're going to go anywhere, I better wear my exterminator badge. Because who knows? In this apocalypse, people trust a badge so much.
Have I told you the history of Coney Island and all of the rides on Coney Island?
You don't hate Fett, sexy Fett.
You're right. I also do not hate Fett.
Okay. Let's see if you can... We have totally derailed this podcast. That's fine. Okay. What about this character? What about this character?
Yeah.
Mom, I spent the last two seasons with Dad telling him how much I missed you. And now that I'm with you, I've spent the last three episodes telling you how much I miss Dad. It's me, Zach 2.0. You like me, don't you, Catfish?
Better call to Zach 2.0. He's a call baby, which is like a cry baby.
Wait a minute. But you don't hate him.
I do hate him, in fact.
He's a little kid.
I do, in fact, hate him. Yeah. In fact, I'm trying to figure out if there's going to be a Zach 3.0 that I can hate more, because every iteration I hate more.
Catfish isn't right. All right, okay. Wait a minute.
Who's left?
You know, hey, me, do you? It's sexy. Aussie hacker Dutch. Hey, I hacked all the computers so the master's plan could take over, but now I feel guilty, eh? And you know, if that's ever lonely, I'll give him some sexy time in the truck, R.I.P. truck. You don't like me, sexy hacker Dutch, do you?
I don't, but that's only because I'm a pig. I'm a male pig. She's too hot to hate. You know, you're missing one person.
Who?
The ostensible lead of this show.
The master?
You know, strangely enough, he's the one person I don't hate.
You don't hate the master?
He's got a plan. He sticks to it. It's logical. He's the only one who's got any follow through on this whole damn show.
Wait a minute. What do you mean by...
He's got a plan.
Yes.
His plan does not involve... You want to talk about monologuing?
Yeah.
How about Strabone? I finally caught you after 3,000 years, so let me give you the Batman treatment.
Oh, my Lord. Hey, now.
No, you forgot.
Wait a minute.
You forgot.
I-Course?
F.
Palmer? Oh, F. Okay.
I like I-Course, too. You got to like people who have a plan and who aren't morons.
Okay.
Okay, so that...
What,
you know who doesn't fall into those two categories?
Everyone.
F.
The writers. Okay.
F.
Why do you hate F? F was trying to get his son back.
Yeah. No, I thought that was a great idea. I thought he gave him a great list of demands, which he then completely ignored.
Right.
As he said, walk towards me and wait until you're close enough to attack me to take the hat off, to take the burlap sack off of fake... Wait, let's call him Zach 3.0.
Hey, now, that was one of the feelers.
Zach 3.0, I liked him as well. He had a plan.
Yeah.
And a singular focus.
All right. Okay, everybody.
So what is your rating for this?
Well, hold on. I'm going to get to that in a second.
Okay,
we've gone
great.
So long. We've gone 8
minutes. No, that's not even. Let me tell you something.
Yeah?
Like the show, I feel like this is the best part of the episode.
Hey, wait
of
a
the
minute.
Podcast. It's going to all go down here from here because we have to talk about what we saw.
Hey, wait. Okay. So now listen. First of all, if you... like these characters, which Hater Catfish is hating on. We want you
There's a few I like. Let's keep them in mind.
Okay.
The Master, I-Course, and Zach 3.0.
All right. So go to our Facebook. All right. Here we go. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/doublepodcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word double, a single letter P, the word podcast, facebook.com/doublepodcast. We want to know what you think. Tell us what
we
you
do,
think.
We do, and you can hear so many things. You can read about the other podcasts we do.
That's
I'm
right.
I was so worried because I thought that this season of The Strain was 10 episodes, and we'd have to overlap 5 episodes with our Ash versus Evil Dead podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But since The Strain's over, apparently we've got 4 weeks to just sit and think about everything that we learned.
Okay.
It's a strange decision to have the series finale be season 3, episode 3. But I like it. It's bold.
That's right, everybody. Sure enough, coming up in October, we're going to relaunch our Ash versus Evil Dead rewatch or watch podcast entitled Ash versus Evil Dead versus Bubba versus Catfish. Plus, coming up in the next 30 days, we're going to launch our Twin Peaks podcast. We podcast about Game of Thrones. We here at the Double P Podcast Network, we talk about shows the way you want to talk about them, unless, of course, you're not sarcastic about The Strain. If you're serious about The Strain, sometimes we're a bit tough. And so you're asking... and so, Catfish, you were asking my rating out of 10.
Yeah, I was. I remember that.
Now, let me say, and this is something I've realized was a fault of my own.
Yeah, right? That you expected logic
No, 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 no. Okay. I kept saying they couldn't kill the master because there's no show if you kill the master.
Right.
And so I had an inkling, like earlier in the first couple episodes, I thought, well, would they kill F? Would they kill F? But they ended up killing the master. Now, sadly, during this past week, I started thinking about, well, you could kill the master, and it would launch. Remember how last year you had a great point. Everywhere Eichhorst went, he would be walking by a construction site, and from the guys working on it, they'd be like, hey, Eichhorst, you upset that the master didn't choose you to be in charge? You know, like,
right.
And so I was thinking, what if this was the twist? Is the master just that one super worm that crawled into the sewer? Like, I think this could open up some interesting possibilities for the seven, count them, seven remaining episodes of The Strain season 3. Wait,
no,
what?
No. There could be an Ichor spinoff, but clearly this show is done, right?
Okay, so because I did not predict that they could kill the master on air, I did think about it this
week. You know what else you were wrong about?
What else was I wrong about?
About the show continuing after tonight.
Okay, now listen. Because I was wrong about that, I'm going to give the show extra credit.
Okay.
But you know me. I'm always the toughest critic.
You are the toughest critic.
So I'm going to give tonight's episode entitled Firstborn, it's season 3, episode 3. So can you guess what my ranking out of 10 is going to be?
The series finale. What is it?
10 out of 10. I'm going to give it 10 double M's out of 10.
Double M's?
Yeah, double M's is a term I like to refer to when I refer to monster mothers. We got a monster mother in the mom formerly known as Lovely Kelly. We got a monster mother in what Gus is doing, and that is so head-slapping. I call it a forehead-slapping, and I slap my head like at least 2.5 times, which gets us to 10 out of 10. And then also we had Strabone, Quinlan's mother.
With his mother figure.
Yeah, and she was a monster hunter mother.
Yeah.
So
this is an episode that really should have aired on Mother's Day.
It should have.
Instead of Grandparents' Day.
Oh. Hey, now, so, okay, let's get into it, Catfish. And let's just jump not to the main action. We won't focus on the flashbacks or the plan to kill the master. Let's get to the thing that has
You know, I
has
just
made...
watched this episode. I didn't see any action.
Hey, listen,
right, tell me.
Let's get to the... to the section that made the most sense, and sure enough...
the commercials?
No, that was Gus. Hey, bruh, it's me, Gus.
Wait, this made sense?
And Silver Angel, yes. You could never, never kill your own mother. Could you? No. You would have to save your mother, just like Gus is saving his mother.
Okay, to be honest here...
Okay.
I can see this up to a point.
All right, what do you mean?
Well... sure, you could lie to yourself. Clearly, by this point, Gus should know that there's no way to save his mother, that she's just gone the way, you know, the Silver Angel says she is.
Yeah.
But I could see him believing, just not wanting to accept that reality. When the rubber hits the road is when you're like, you know what, I'm so dizzy that I'm going to let her feast on these two guys because they don't seem as woozy as I do.
All right, well, let's get to it. The Silver Angel is supposed to be the voice of reason. He comes in, he sees, hey, bruh, it's me, Gus.
And also the voice of racism.
Listen to me. He's also like, hey, ma, it's me, Gus's mom, Stergoy. And so What in the world? Why did Silver Angel change? Number one, I was screaming throughout all these scenes. Silver Angel walked in. He wasn't carrying a weapon. In this whole section, he never carried a weapon. This is the crate. You're in a zombie apocalypse where you could get turned in a moment's notice. You should always have a weapon on you. Am I correct? But what? Why do you think the Silver Angel changed? Because I never got that point. I don't understand what was happening. Why did the Silver Angel suddenly start helping? Hey, bro, Gus.
You're asking for a logical reason?
Well, was there something in the show which explained why this change happened? Because I didn't see it.
No, that is my entire point. He is, based on the way Angel is acting,
yeah.
His next move would have been to open the window and say, hey, guys, up here, vamanos.
Arriba, arriba. Okay, we're not going to be rough like Silver Angel. We're not going to make any more cracks about this preposterousness. So, okay, they put her in the wheelchair. Gus got the helmet on her. Even getting the helmet on her was a crazy move. You know, he tackles her without a weapon. And so...
Well, the other question is this.
Yeah.
What's his plan now? At least he was able to feed her before. Now, how's he going to feed her?
Well, he didn't, let's be honest, he didn't have a plan. His plan was just not to let her get killed. The Silver Angel...
But what's his initial plan? Why put the helmet on her? Is he going to transport her somewhere? It doesn't make any sense for him to put the helmet on her if he's still going to continue to feed her.
Well, okay, no. Gus almost got hit with the tongue worm. He almost got hit with that.
Right.
So you put a helmet on mom, then you can just, you know, like spray blood into her mask, but she'd never be able to tongue worm you because she's trapped in the mask.
But that's not going to help. It even looks like, and it keeps being hard for me to tell.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I could see it now. There's a visor on that thing.
Right.
So what is he going to do? He's got a little thing he's going to spray underneath the bottom. He's not going to be able to feed her effectively anymore.
No. But this, okay, you know what?
The only reason to put the mask on her.
Why?
Is so that you can take it off later on when you're wheeling her down the hall for her Meals on Wheels.
she's on wheels.
He doesn't understand the concept of Meals on Wheels.
Now, hold on. Now, listen.
The meal is supposed to be on wheels.
We're always so snarky. Let's just get to it.
For good reason.
Let's just get to it. Did this scene touch you? He's trying to save his mother. To be honest, this almost is identical to the way we put Granny in a home.
Well, okay.
No, I'm kidding, obviously. So why? Okay, so a million ridiculous things happen. He doesn't want to kill his mom. Let's go with there. I think that does make sense, even though Silver Angel's like, she's not your mom anymore.
Right, but what doesn't make sense is putting the mask on.
Yeah, but no, what really doesn't make sense is letting your mom feast on these good guys. These are the hero. They're going door to door to clean New York City of Strigoi. And Silver Angel does this.
It's the angel who does it.
Oh,
right,
my God.
Right, right.
This is the dumbest thing. And I saw people on Twitter saying, well, they did warn them not to take off, you know, not to take off the helmet. They did warn them this. They did warn them that. This is just preposterous. I want to go back to the fact that Strabone picked out Gus. He's like, you know, you have a role to play. Like, he recruited Gus to come help him. And then in season two, they're all on the boat together at the end. They're like, hey, now we're going to go fight the master. And somehow here in season three,
they have completely set Gus adrift.
They have.
He's not important.
Right.
He's doing really stupid things.
Yeah, this is
and
the dumbest thing he's ever done.
Presumably he's in with these recruits, which doesn't tie him back to the main story at all.
In any way.
And also, you know, you can take a hint by when you see someone on television that you know.
Yeah.
And you know is going to have a big part.
Right.
So clearly, since we see well-known actor Lee Turgeson as sort of the head of these squads, we know that Gus is going to be trapped in this storyline for a while.
Oh, without question. And so, okay, I should mention right now, from what I understand, you and I, Mork, we have not read the books that the Strain television show is based on.
Right, but this was another episode written by Chuck Hogan, who is a co-author of the original novel,
yeah.
Right.
And I should say that what I've been told, once again, I know nothing, but what I've been told is that Gus and Silver Angel does get introduced in the second book, just like it was introduced in the second season. But I'm told these characters are loved. Like, people would say when they found out that Silver Angel was going to be in season two. They were like, oh, man, that's great. I love the Silver Angel. I love Gus. And yet they've done nothing. It's like you've said, they've stranded them in a preposterous storyline that has nothing to do with any.
And the other weird thing is, I'm not sure what they think their end game is going to be here, but I wouldn't expect anything else to happen except what happened, which was Mom is now running free in a straitjacket without a helmet, free to eat on people.
Right.
And they got attacked by people. And also, I feel like,
yeah,
I don't want to make any blanket statements about, you know, brutality of any kind of forces.
Sure.
However, these guys who have been clearly conscripted and,
right,
and may have sort of a bond with their fellow people, I kind of get the feeling that Gus and Angel would have the living crap kicked out of them for letting loose this beast to suck on,
yeah,
their
they should've
patriots.
Yeah, without question, they totally should have. But let's get to it. So I think...
No, wait,
theoretically,
this was the storyline that made the most sense?
Right.
Okay, good.
Most saying strained. It's strained to make sense. Strained credulity. All right, so anyway.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is that Gus and Silver Angel, people love them from the books. We haven't read the books, so I don't want to say anything. But it feels like they're going to set up a season-long arc about, in the end, Gus will have to kill his mom, and somehow that'll be some emotional catharsis. It'll prove that he's really made a choice to fight these monsters.
But will we care about that?
Right. At this point, that was just... I mean, Gus and Silver Angel are they would be charged with murder. They would be charged...
They would be if it wasn't we weren't having all the problems that we're having. But let's be honest. The other thing is,
yeah,
you know, we're supposed to feel for... Just the way this is written is weird. I guess the only way that you can identify with Gus and the Silver Angel,
yeah,
is if you have some sort of compassion or feeling towards his mother, towards Gus's mother, who was gone for so long and we saw,
right,
so little of. I don't think anybody is like, oh, Gus's mom, I feel sorry for her. It's more like, look, this thing's horrible. You got to kill it, and you're stupid if you don't.
Right.
So we're watching a character who is stupid and who makes us angry because they're so stupid.
All right. Very true. All of that is true. But let's go back to the character arc over three seasons. Gus is let out of prison. His brother...
For doing something much less worse than this.
Right. That's true. But Gus is the screw up. You know, the mom loves him. The brother, you know, is sick of him. And now, of course, the ones who suffer are the mother and the brother and the viewers, because they have to watch this preposterousness of Gus. Gus, who...
That is the most upsetting thing.
Yeah.
Well, really, the most upsetting thing is how they have made Gus really unlikable in this episode.
Right.
However,
yeah,
what was the most upsetting before that was they set him up to be sort of an integral, important part, and now they strip that of him.
Constantly. They constantly do that of him. Gus was the first one to meet the Ancient Ones at the end of season one. And then you think, okay, he's going to do interesting things with the Ancient Ones. But then instead, he suddenly quits.
Right, he was
going
to be like an ambassador.
Right, and then he quits the Ancient Ones, and he's hanging out at the Tandoori Palace, and he meets that family, and that's how he meets the Silver Angel. The Silver Angel and he hate each other. Like, the Silver Angel hated this guy who's in a gang. And so he's like, you know, terrible, terrible, terrible.
Right, I
and
mean,
now,
their
and now
the was so weird, it
right,
felt like the Silver Angel was actually his father, which they didn't even bother to pay that off, which could have been at least decently interesting.
Right. And now the Silver Angel is such a good friend to him that he's suddenly like, you know what? If you want to release your mom, I'll do it. I'll help you keep your mom alive. I mean, they're just absolute craziness.
I want to know what has been keeping the Silver Angel from visiting earlier. You know, the Silver Angel made a big deal,
right,
about, I'm going to stay,
yeah,
in
when
the
they,
city.
Yeah, when they went to the...
And we're,
right,
going to be, we're going to be bras together.
Right, we're going to fight
Bras.
Right, we're going to fight this thing together. And that just completely got thrown out the window. And so, I don't know Chuck Hogan at all as an author. What do you think of this whole kind of plot line? What do you think of, you know, why would they do this?
I mean, again, we don't know whether this actually follows the plot of the books.
Right.
But if people actually like Gus and the Silver Angel, either in the books, the relationship between Gus and his mother is so strong that we sort of have a feeling.
Okay.
For her, and so we understand his actions.
Right.
But we definitely don't understand it here.
Okay. So
I don't know what else Chuck Hogan has done as far as television goes.
Yeah.
I've read his non-Strigoi books and okay. have enjoyed them immensely.
Okay. So all right.
There's a lot of books about sort of New York crime thrillers right. like that, and they're good books.
All right, so let's go to the second storyline for the evening, and that is, sure enough, flashback. One of the executive producers of this show is Carlton Cruz, who everybody knows from the TV...
Cues.
Yeah, we know him real well from the TV show Lost.
Well, I just don't want people to think that he's Tom Cruise's associate or friend. It's Cues.
Well, on Lost...
When I say to him, Jack Cues, Cues...
So on Lost, they had flashbacks all the time.
Right.
Spoiler alert for the TV show Lost. And so they've added flashbacks.
People are going to be so disappointed when they watch that show and they're like, oh, I knew about this already.
So they've added flashbacks to The Strain. And we've had some, and some have been, I would say, kind of interesting. Seeing Satrakhan back in World War II
right.
was kind
that
of
was cool.
kind of some cool stuff.
Yeah, there was
seeing,
some really
that,
cool
that
stuff.
That showed us how I-Corps turned, mm-hmm. some good stuff.
That was good.
And so I have to be honest, I'm not sure. We're back just in barely AD in Romania. Or is it Romania or Rome? Roman Empire, someplace
I
here.
I think it's the Roman Empire.
Right, I do too. Here in 57 AD. 58 AD. And we see this woman who wants to see the freak. She's coming to the freak show, and she wants to see the monster. Now, one of the things I have to ask is, Quinlan has super speed. He forgets it half the time. How could any of...
Well, he didn't really learn that. In fact, we didn't see any super speed until after he'd seen...
His father, the master.
Yeah, okay. So he's seen the master show super speed. So maybe he didn't realize it till then.
All right. But how did he get caught? How in the world could Quinlan have been caught way back then? It seems impossible. Seems illogical.
It does, but I think you're giving a prejudice. Just because those people back at that time didn't have fast food on demand doesn't mean they couldn't come up with some ideas. They had rabbit traps. Why not Strigoi traps?
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Maybe
right.
they staked a goat and then had him.
All right.
He went to go eat the goat and he fell down a well.
Sure, sure, sure.
A little Strigoi fell down a well.
Hi. So this woman comes up. And she's a hunter. She wants to purchase Quinn. He's not even Quinlan in this. He's called like Quintos or what's he called?
Yeah.
So he's called something else and she purchases him.
No, but wait, hold on.
I'm sorry. Jumping ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Once she explains to the guy who it is and he's like, wah, 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 wah. It feels to me like at that point she's like, now you give me money to take him off your hands.
Right. Exactly. And so then she starts training him. She teaches him how to talk again. She teaches him, I guess, how to be human again. And then because he is half, he's a half-breed. He's a mudblood.
Well, it's funny. We learn about how he was born.
Right.
Not from this,
right.
but from a conversation he has with F. And actually, I found that part kind of interesting.
So you're saying you didn't find this flashback interesting?
I actually like the flashback.
Okay, so she trusts him well enough to where she takes the tongue worm guard off him, which is a very brave move, don't you think?
I do think it is a brave move. Maybe she doesn't know. Well, she does know the extent of what he can do because she's seen how he likes goats.
Right.
But yeah, no, she gives him a little bit of tender loving. I mean, mom loving.
All right. Yeah. So adopted parents can be cool. We see some Strigois, some just, some basic Strigois come into the tent to attack her. And we see Strabone Quinlan or Quintos, whatever he goes by now, protect her, which is great. And so we see that he is a half-breed. He does have emotions
half-breed.
And feelings. He does have emotions and feelings mm-hmm. that he can control. And so, yeah, let's talk through this again. His mother was pregnant with him. And then
she got
tongue wormed, or
she got tongue wormed,
right?
And somehow she was still able to bring the baby to term,
right?
And so he became. So that's why he's his spiritual father or whatever,
right?
And then the reason why the old ones, I'm
the ancient
refer to
ones,
them
yeah.
that, the old
okay,
ones,
sorry, the old ones,
sure, the old ones. That's from Ash versus the Old Dead. The right. old ones is that he knew he shouldn't have done that. That's. So it turns out that's the rule he broke.
Right.
Of all the rules he could have broken, apparently that's his original sin.
Sure thing.
The master.
All right, so.
Never turn a pregnant lady.
No.
Without killing her.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm saying. So then he and this hunter.
Mission quest.
Right, they decide to go to the Lord of the Rings set, and they're walking through the Misty Mountains. And here, and did you like these effects in this episode, Catfish, of them walking through the Himalayas?
No.
Okay, moving on. So they end up in a very realistic-looking cave.
Yes.
Where suddenly, who comes in but one of the original masters? This is freak Romanian guy in the cave
master. Now, see, what I thought was going to be cool was...
Yeah.
I thought these were going to be the ancient ones,
right?
Showing
that,
up to tell
that was
him.
My first guess too.
Yeah,
but we had to remember that.
And in fact, at what point? See, you're better than I am at this.
Sure.
At what point did you realize that this guy was actually the master? Because I thought he was an ambassador from the master, not the master.
There was something, just his regalness, his dress, the fact that he
his
can
buck teeth.
Well. Yeah, he's got the sharp, pointy teeth to get in. But also just, he controlled these Strigois. I thought he could be an ancient one. But obviously his point was, I want my son to be like me. This is a custody battle, no different from F and the mother formerly known as Lovely
right,
Kelly.
Right, and he says something I don't understand, but he basically says, I'm going to put you in this pickle, and then you're going to find out
right.
what you actually are.
Right, so he causes an avalanche, traps Strabone Gwynlyn in the cave with the human mom, setting up Sophie's choice or Sophie's dinner.
What choice did he have?
Well, he could starve to death, I suppose, couldn't he?
I suppose.
I mean, he could starve to death and not eat this woman who became a surrogate mother to him, who
I'm
he loves.
I'm just saying what I really wanted him to say was, after he waited so long and she begged him to do it and he did it,
yeah.
and then the master took away all the obstruction, I would have said, if I was him, I would have said, well, if I'd have known this was going to be that easy, I would have done it right away.
Now, let me ask you something. How did the master know that this woman was dead? I mean, let's be honest. It was an avalanche. they were in the cave alone.
I don't know. The only way he could have known was if he also had heard
right.
what she said. And I'm not sure that he would have, this is sort of kind of echoes Star Wars in that it's like, no matter what you've experienced, I know I can turn you to the dark side.
Oh, yeah.
Luke.
Right. And so what did you think of surrogate mom's sacrifice? This is a show.
It wasn't too much, right? She knew she was going to die anyway.
Right. She was, but she gave up. She cut her own throat so that Gwynlyn could have some, wouldn't starve to death. That's an ultimate sacrifice there. That is what every mother does for their child.
That is a good point. You know what?
What?
That's why I'm going to give this my fresh milk scene of the week.
So you like this scene the best. Okay. This is your, what you mean? We call these scenes UV scenes, UV light scenes. Because
right.
they're anti-Strigoi. They're really good, not really bad. And so then, sure enough, Daddy Master comes, and we have this preposterous thing of, okay, now I'm going to use my super speed. I could use my super speed all the friggin' time, but no, I'll only use it now.
I feel like that you just used a loaded term.
What do you mean?
I feel like when you use the word preposterous, you're sort of giving sort of an opinion.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I don't want to do
about
that.
How that worked.
I don't want. Yeah, sorry. So, what did you think of the fact that now they use their super speed?
Well, I wasn't upset so much by that as the fact that it was another one of these,
yeah.
okay, we're going to have a huge meeting, and then someone's going to run away.
Right.
Run away.
I've been wanting to kill you forever, and I'll just wait another 2,000 years.
I'm sure I'm missing one.
I think I'm missing one,
too. But there's at least two runaways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's preposterous. Sorry, I said preposterous again. Drink.
Loaded.
All right, so we have this battle between Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker.
Again, it's not a battle.
That's a good point. A battle would have to...
Run away! Run away!
So he runs away, and that's it. I mean, this...
The weird thing is,
yeah.
you know, in these kind of situations, usually someone, an elder, a wise elder says, you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet.
Right.
And the younger trainee is headstrong and doesn't believe that.
Sure.
But somehow in this case, he believes it and just runs away right away.
Yes.
Doesn't even get injured first.
Nah.
We can't have a little fight.
Why do that?
We can't have something where the guy's going to weaken him for a couple hundred years or something and then just say,
yeah,
you'll learn your lesson eventually.
Right.
No, it's just the conflict is run away from.
So because it was such a cop-out, I suddenly started worrying.
It was also a loaded term.
I started worrying that this episode wouldn't have an epic climax like all these people who had seen these preview screens.
Well, you know, it's
going
to have something.
It would have to have something to make up for all this near misses.
Yeah.
All right, so now let's go back to our final real storyline in the episode, and that is the adventures of Quinlan and F and the trade of the Octodo Lumen for Zach 2.0.
Love it.
It goes back with its own flashback. We start back at the moment of Zach 1.0's life, his birth.
And he was, again, what would have made this scene better is if it was a nightmare that F was having.
Right.
And when the baby was born, it was Strigoi.
Wouldn't that have been great?
But instead,
and creepy and
we
scary?
Get the baby in a call. He's a call baby. And then that's mentioned one other time some stupid reason.
Right. I still thought it was a nightmare that the mother, currently known in this flashback as Lovely Kelly, gave birth to a honey-baked ham. But it wasn't.
That would have been a more delicious turn of events.
Okay. So then that birth brings us to Kelly. This is technically the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly, who's Strigoi-ing it up, who's there with Zach, and she's talking to Zach 2.0.
Now, Zach has seen some things that might make him think a little bit differently about his mom, but apparently not really.
Right. Well, perhaps this is kind of echoing the Gus point. They both know their moms are their mothers are monsters, but it's like, eh.
Whatever.
Whatevs.
Let her drink.
All right. And so Kelly is trying to convince Zach 2.0. She's like, you know, that kid was unhealthy. The master's got special powers. All this preposterousness. I want to give it up to, you know, I'm a very lonely man. This lovely actress, Natalie Brown, who's always my Strigoi of the week. She is doing wonderful, thankless work playing this monster. And she is trying to, I don't know, you know, last week she wants to eat Zach. Now she's willing to, you know, once again, coddle him.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, her only real character flaw is how much she caters to Zach's whims. Other than that, again, she's got a solid through line. She's got her needs. She's got her wants.
Right, so you like the mother formerly known as Lovely
Absolutely.
Kelly. Look at all these characters you like.
Black is white. Up is down.
Wait a minute.
The bad guys are the only characters who aren't idiots.
All right, so sure enough, we start on Fett. He's wearing his badge, so everybody hashtag badge
But he's about to bite into a delicious, what I'm going to assume is grilled cheese sandwich, and the bread looks thick and delicious, and then he can't eat it.
Well, he takes it with him to where Satrakian's yelling, and he's like, hey, what's up, Doc? What's up, Professor? And sure enough, somebody has taken the Octodo Lumen, and this is the worst thing that could ever be in this episode. So, but sure enough, conveniently, just like we never saw Gus trapping his mom and keeping his mother in the apartment, we find out from Fett, we didn't see it, we're just told it, hey, I put a tracer because I don't trust.
That's fine. I don't mind that we didn't see that. I will say that at least so far, and again, as far as I'm concerned, this was the series finale.
Hey, now.
Their participation at the end party was non-existent.
You say that. They took out the turned Navy SEAL dudes, so, you know, they showed
up.
Well,
no, they just alerted, and then
they threw the grenade, and then
oh, that's true. That's true. I'm so sorry. I'm going to take all that back. That's the only reason why I like Fett.
But those two are the best characters, and what's terrible is they're keeping the best characters together. You know what I mean? We like Nora. They killed Nora. And so you could send like Fett with somebody who we dislike.
Well, but I thought your main problem, like mine was the characters weren't all together. So now you want to split up the only characters we like?
Well, no. It's not that they have to be all together. They all have to be working on a singular purpose. But this show never lets anybody work on a singular purpose. So sure enough, in this episode, F and Quinlan are working on, hey, let's get the master to this place so we can kill him. In the previous episodes, Satrakian was like, I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to read this book and solve it. While Fett was, I'm going to work with Navy SEALs and clean up. You know, like, everybody has this their own, like, little side project. And you don't – and then Gus, of course, and Silver Angel aren't tied to anything. And so they need to be working on a common goal. Like, okay, this is how we're going to kill him. F, you're going to do this to poison the Strigoi. You know what I mean? There's got to be – some rhyme or reason to this, but the show doesn't like
it. I'm in on that. I totally agree. I totally co-sign. Have them all. They can be doing different things as long as there's a clear purpose here. But as long as there's – the problem is if we had a clear purpose, this show would indeed have been done tonight.
That's true. That's absolutely true. So sure enough, we see that F has gone back to Red Hook, Brooklyn, and he's looking at the book. And he's just driving you absolutely crazy. He's like, it's just a book. It's just a book. And he asks the question, which the audience wants him to ask. He says, am I trading all of humanity's chances for my son's soul? And the answer is, yes, you are doing that, F. You know, why didn't anybody just give him a straight answer? Why didn't he answer it himself? He's a friggin' CDC doctor. He should be smart.
Yeah.
All right, so.
On the other hand, the fact that he wants to do it provides us not only with actually the first decent plan to actually meet up with the master.
Right, get the master out of his hiding place.
Right.
That's true.
But, you know, it also provides us with some very limited conflict that we can get on board with.
Okay, so then they've got to communicate the plan to the master. So they go out in their cab, and this kind of always blows me away. I forget that Quinlan can see sunlight because he's in this cab. It's in the day.
Yeah, he's half-half.
He's half and half.
He's fine.
So it doesn't hurt him at all. Just last week he said, can you turn those UV lights off because they kind of aren't the greatest?
No. You don't understand the protective powers of the steampunk sunglasses.
Okay. Yes, that is true. I don't know those too well. And I've seen some people say they like this pairing on Twitter. You have, you know, terrible, unfunny F with, you know, kind of a badass. And they like that pairing. But I think F is always better with Fett. Like, their yin and yang is better.
Yeah, except that what's good about these guys is they're both too serious, so it just becomes ridiculous. You know, plus I think it reminds people of a movie they used to really like.
What's that?
You remember that movie called Dumb and Dumber? No. I'm not saying they're dumb and dumber. I'm saying they're like that.
Oh, okay.
They're bald and balder. Hey.
Very mean. Very mean. All right. So their plan is they're going to go to this – like, I don't even know how – okay, let's –
well, first of all, they managed to connect to the master.
How did they do that? I don't know
how they're going to get him to notice. I don't know if the master has got, like, one of those, like, police scanners for F. That, you know, have you seen this man? If so, let me know.
Right.
But what's funny is the guy sort of looks like a shorter, possessed Fett.
Right.
He sort of has that Fett feel to him.
He does. But I want to say this, is that we've been told the master can see through any of these monsters' eyes.
Right.
And so they've got to draw out a monster, and this monster sees F, and it doesn't kill F. And so that's fine. And then Quinlan, you know, has trapped the monster. And F is contacting the master. We know he's contacting the master because the Strigoi's eyes turn red of the master. F shows the book.
Now, why can't we see, just one time?
Yeah.
I want to see what this looks like from the master's point of view.
Oh, that's a good point.
Is it like FaceTiming somebody where you sort of get some... You know, it's not exactly clear, but it's a little off.
Sure.
Why couldn't we have the master's POV? Just make it a little creepy or something.
Well, it's going to be hard now that he doesn't have a head.
Well, that's exactly true, but they could have done it. Just
Amen.
Like when we did a
Amen.
Podcast for Jonathan Stranger, Mr. Norrell.
Correct.
And every time they went out of the real world, they were able to shoot it in a way and use sound in a way that was very interesting.
True.
But... this is a pretty considering the subject matter, right, this is a pretty straightforwardly flat shot show.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's presenting it to you as it is. Let's go, though.
Again, the only part that wasn't realistic, that was sort of a little whimsical or strange, was when we got to see like the introduction of Angel, and we got
right
to see those old movies.
Yeah, that was fun.
That part was cool, and it was different, and it gave us a different tone. But again, they're just kind of beating us over the head with mundanity here.
All right. So though, I want to go to this. Last week, when Palmer met up with Satrakian and Fett, and they had this kind of conference, you know, just as F has this devil's bargain with, hey, give me the Octodo Lumen, I'll give you your son. They're setting up this devil's bargain for Satrakian, where it's like, hey, Palmer will give up the ghost, he'll stop helping the master. The master will stop having this kind of, what am I trying to say, like human being with money and power helping him, if Satrakian gives up his secret of the white, of how to keep living. And even though so much of it doesn't make sense, the biggest thing was last week, if Palmer had just had his men kill Satrakian, he could have gone to the master and like, hey, I killed Satrakian, I'm proved I'm on your side, give me the white. Similarly, Satrakian, all he wants Palmer to do is stop helping the master, so he could have killed Palmer right then. And so like, he had this moment when they could have killed each other. I'm watching this scene where F is talking to the master through this random Strigoi's eyes. And once F shows the book to the master, if I'm the master, just kill F right then. Have this thing kill F. Yeah, it may die, but you know where the book is. You know where this thing is. Then you just send all your people straight there. You send all your people right there to get the book.
I disagree because...
Because?
Because, I mean, at least we know that Strabone is helping him.
Oh, okay.
And so...
Oh, you think the master knew and it's too
dangerous?
The
master might know, and then you don't have anything over Strabone. I mean, they have made it that... obviously, even though the master's got a plan and he's got backup,
right,
it's dangerous for him to come out and show himself.
Oh, yeah.
Even though pretty much everyone just runs away and hides or tries to monologue
right
him to death.
Anytime
he's
out.
It's still dangerous.
Okay.
So the fact is, he must clearly want the Oxido Lumen very badly.
Right.
I don't know why. He seems to be doing very well without it.
Right. So now in this deal...
So what I'm saying is that because of that, he wants to keep F alive because he's got something on F.
Right.
He doesn't have anything on Strabone.
Good point. All right,
if he only knew, he'd have something on Gus, but he also probably knows, as we do, that Gus is completely irrelevant to the rest of the storyline.
Okay, so I could have sworn, and maybe I misheard this, didn't F say, listen, if you want the Octodo Lumen, you come by yourself. Nobody else. I don't want your Nazi butler. Way to insult Eichhorst, a.k.a. poor man's crystal
ball. Horrible. Racism rearing its ugly head again.
Right. But F says that, and then the master still comes with other people. He's like, okay, I didn't bring the Nazi butler, but I still brought other people. So sure enough.
I know. It's the master and his bucket of deplorables.
Right. So the master shows up here,
yes,
in his new Bolivar. It's actually Master 2.0 because he's or 3.0 at this point, I guess, technically, from what we've seen on the show. And so why doesn't the when F shows, okay, here is the Octodo Lumen, why doesn't the master at that point use his super speed, grab the Octodo Lumen, and get away? You know, like, that's all you need. You wanted the book, super speed, get the book, run away.
Not only that, he holds it up. And he's not holding it very, very tightly.
He's
doing his say anything moment.
Right.
Holding the book up.
Right. And so, sure enough, I actually thought, you know, you like the master. I'm going to keep giving it up to him. This is a pretty good plan. You have one of the feelers disguised as Zach. You have this bag over his head so F doesn't know. This
yes,
is a great plan.
And there's
plan.
Absolutely zero reason.
Zero.
For F to think that that's his kid. Because
right.
Why have a bag over his head?
Yeah.
There are only two reasons for them to have a bag over his head. It's not him.
Or
he's been
turned.
Those are the things right. that he said, make sure it's him and make sure he's human.
Right. And so I was so sure that she was going to take off the bag and it would be Zach 2.0, but no, it wasn't. Instead, it's a feeler. The feeler runs at F and instead of sticking out its tongue worm immediately, of course, tackles him
first. It just sort of lulls it out of its
right.
mouth a little bit.
And so,
like a dog panting.
And so these Strigoi, they try to fight F one at a time. It's so stupid. Why, you know...
I have a quick question for you.
What?
Who's going to carry this book that's on the Master's team.
Right,
here.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to have to... someone must have one of those little red wagons, a radio right. flyer, so, to pull it around in.
Right, so Kelly doesn't...
Because it burns.
Kelly doesn't try to attack Zach until Zach... I'm sorry, attack F until the feeler has been defeated. Now, Kelly is about to be defeated herself when one of the feelers comes back. The mother, formerly known as Lovely Kelly, grabs the Octodo Lumen, brings it to the Master. All is right for the Master. He doesn't care that F is killing this one feeler. He doesn't give a rat's ass.
In fact, she says, can I turn him now? And I'm not sure. Apparently, Kelly is still holding on to some anger from the breakup.
Right, listen,
because
Kelly,
it's not like just let him go.
Hold on, mother, formerly known as Kelly. You got the house. You got the money. You got Zach. Wait a minute. Now I understand why she's mad. Now I know why she's upset.
Dear.
Oh, she wants to turn him.
It wasn't enough that she got the employee discount from Sears.
Right, from Matt from Sears. All right, so sure enough, here we go. Let's get to it. So everything looks great for the Master when suddenly the guy holding the Octodo Lumen gets blown away by an Uzi. And of course, if you're thinking, hey, Quinlan, why didn't you kill the Master first? Why didn't you shoot him first, huh?
Because he's got a monologue in.
Oh, my Jesus. And so while this is happening, where did Kelly go? I'm confused. Where did Kelly go? She was there. She handed the book to the one kind of Navy SEAL that was with him.
Well, she dropped it in the bag.
Yeah, she dropped it in the bag.
Drop it in the bag.
And then where did she go?
She's just hanging out. Look, these people just, while everything else is going on, they just stand around.
Sure thing. So these turned Navy SEALs who must be controlled by the Master, they're sneaking up and they are blowing away Quinlan. Is Quinlan going to die in this episode? We've had so many near deaths in this episode, but he is saved by Satrakian. And hey,
he even gets warned, even though they're the ones who they think that he's the one who
right.
stole the book and betrayed them. So why would they warn him?
It's a good question.
Even if he was on their side, he right. was. They still didn't trust him even before he stole the Oxido Lumen. No right. tea.
Right.
And so I don't know why. There's no good reason why they warned him.
Makes no sense. So let's give it up to Fett and Satrakian. One of their silver grenades kills all the bad guys who were turned Navy SEALs. The second one burns the living crud out of the Master. But the Master, as we know, you got the only way to kill him, according to the Octodo Lumen, is to have him see the face of God. The Master's smoking. He's not doing too bad, but he wants that Lumen. He wants to destroy it. When who comes up and is stone cold PO'd, and who, this could be shown on Father's Day, decapitates Ned Stark. Whoops, spoiler alert. He decapitates the
and
Master.
Then he falls down.
Like he's dead. He's been shot a bunch. He's been...
Right, right, right. But presumably, I mean, at this point, if you're saying the show really is going to go on,
yeah.
if there's another 7 episodes of this just for this season and countless other seasons to
right.
come...
Of course.
Then presumably, the big worm that went away
yeah.
was the entirety of the Master's thought processes, etc. He's got to find a new body now. It's going to be the Master 4.0. So presumably, Strabone is not dead.
Well, yeah. I
mean, this is really, when you come down to it.
Yeah. This is,
and we'll have an answer next week. Maybe we won't, knowing how this show is. This is the only... This is the only interesting thing that happens this episode, and it is, if you really cared about the show and it was pretty cool up to this point, it would be a great... Ned Stark dying like moment.
Right.
What happens now? Is that the Master? Is he dead? Is someone taking over? Does it matter anymore? Presumably, if Strabone, you know, if we go back to the vampire legends,
yep.
when the Master dies, all the people he turned dies.
Right. But technically, did he die because his little tapeworm escaped? Escaped
right.
while Satrakian was watching it. Why not drop another silver grenade down the gutter?
They only had 2.
Oh, my Jesus.
They're done, too.
All right. So, sure enough, R.I.P. Bolivar. You had a rough time, Bolivar. Think about Bolivar on this show. He starts off as a rock star, loses his junk, loses his hair, loses his career.
Yeah, but then...
Promoted to master, so
right,
uptick.
Exactly.
Uptick.
Exactly. Exactly. Things were looking up.
Right.
And then, you know what? He just went crazy and lost his head.
Nice knowing you, Bolivar.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So what in the
world? I will say this, though.
What?
I mean, he may have lost his junk, but that's the biggest worm I've seen on this series. So I've got worm envy right now.
All right. So everybody, if you don't like previews for next week, stop listening now. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/doublepodcast.
I didn't watch one. I thought it was done.
You did. But sure enough, it shows theoretically the fallout for what happens when the Strigoi have no leadership. What happens when it's just every Strigoi for themselves?
Well, let's try and think about something cool since it's already been done here. What would be the coolest thing? I mean, if the Master can still... The question is, can the Master still control people? Can he contact poor man's Christoph Waltz, Eichhorst, and try and get him to come, and finally he's going to take over Eichhorst.
Right.
Which would be cooler because we like Eichhorst.
Yeah, we do. Or how about this?
And he's been mostly missing for this.
Yeah, he wasn't in this episode at all. Yeah, he hasn't had much to do. He was in the first episode, but it was very minimal.
Right.
I've got a thing here. What I think might be most fun is not that there hasn't been complete anarchy and craziness everywhere, but we know that the Ancient Ones want the Master dead. And if he's not dead, at the very least, he's now a tapeworm. And so maybe do the Ancient Ones say, oh, okay, we're in power now. This is great. Oh, wait a minute. Now we got all these Strigois. We could take over if we wanted to. And suddenly, quote unquote, our heroes like Quinlan have to decide. You know, Quinlan, if he survives, should have to face a choice. Hey, help the Ancient Ones who I've always been working with and kind of take over in a...
But I thought their stone-cold, no-go-backs policy was we don't want to mess with that world. And it's not because we can't take it over.
Right.
They've been living forever. They could, but they just don't want the trouble. It's not...
Right.
You know what I mean?
Your taxpayers just bitch and moan about
lies
everything.
The head that sits on the throne.
And there are three thrones.
Am I right?
Right. All right, so, but I think...
Okay, so yeah, come up with the coolest thing, and that's the thing that won't happen.
Well...
That would be cool. Okay, so if the Ancient Ones go, all right, you're right, we got some people around, but the question is...
Yeah.
And again, I find thinking about these things more interesting than...
Then sometimes the show carries through, that's
just,
true.
Just sometimes.
Correct.
Is that presumably... I don't know, is it just that tiny little worm, which again, for as worms go, is a huge one, but it's still a worm.
Yeah, it's
he's still able to control all those people, and if he can't control them, I don't think that somebody else could take them over.
No,
I mean,
not,
they're his slaves. They're his, they're bonded
to him. Yes, if you trust vampire lore, but it was like you said, in many vampire myths, if you kill the head vampire... Everybody else kind of gets to go back and be a human.
That's why I'm saying I don't think the Ancient Ones could take them over because they've been slave to him. And even if he can't control them right now because he is in corporate as far as just a body goes, I don't think that they can just swoop in and take him over.
Well, I think, how about this? Because I thought he might have been turned when they removed the burlap sack, I think... The next thing would be to turn Zach. I think that would open up so many crazy possibilities. Like here I'm complaining about I don't care about Gus's mother and if Gus has to kill his mother. I think it would really destroy F to kill his own son. You know, I think that would, you know, if he had to do that, you know, it'd kill him and destroy him. And maybe, you know, after he does that, he just takes a gun to his head or he drinks himself further into oblivion.
What I'd like to know is, I mean, we've seen what's happened when Zach gets left alone.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets into some real shit all by himself.
Right.
So there should be one, I don't know, probably would be very interesting what he did now that he's with Kelly. Is he too scared to cause trouble and just go out on the streets like he used to? Is he going to be just cool
great question.
With stuff?
I don't know. So, listeners, we want you to go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/doublepodcast. Tell us what you think. Tell us if we've been way too snarky and hateful on this episode.
We gave it great reviews.
Ratings. That's
10
sure,
and a 9.5.
We sure did.
Oh, wait, hold on. So you're telling me this is not the series finale?
No.
Okay, I got to bring my rating a little bit down.
Here we go.
All right, I'm going to give it a 2.5.
That's painful. Or you can tweet at us. Tweet at us with the hashtag GotYourMilkPodcast or tweet at us directly. How do people contact you, Catfish?
Well, Bubba, they can hit me up at CJGman67.
Yeah.
Now, what if I wanted to tweet at you, Bubba?
All you would have to do is tweet at me. Tell me what you thought of this episode at the Twitter handle at FittenTrim. That's FittenTrim at FittenTrim on Twitter.
Ooh, that's a lot of R's.
And so we'll see you next time on Got Your Milk.
It's not over.